Hello, welcome to today's episode of the Desperately Seeking Self podcast. I am so glad that you have been able to join today. And I am going to talk about the jumping off point. Have you guys heard of this? It's the jumping off point. It's what I learned, you know, could be deliberating, but jumping off is the term that I was taught about. And basically, it's about being in a space where you try and moderate and you fail and you weigh up your options, right? Like you weigh up what life is going to look like with alcohol and what life looks like without alcohol. And you're sort of stuck in this space. It's, you know, you're at the point of either jumping off in either direction. You're either going to jump in and go all in with sobriety, or you're going to continue to jump and use self-destructive patterns with your drinking. The reason I like to talk about this is because there's a lot of confusion, I think, in the buzziness of sobriety today. And I think that a lot of that stems from focusing on what you will lose instead of focusing on what you will gain, right? Like we really focus in on, especially when you're at the jumping off point, you are looking for every reason to not quit drinking because your brain is going to seek out ways to be able to continue doing what it's been doing. And the idea of change is very scary. It's scary for anything that you go to do. It's terrifying when you're dealing with addiction, alcoholism, and, you know, even gray area drinking, when it's become your comfort agent for any and everything that you have. And by the way, and I mean comfort even in your celebration stuff. So, you know, one of the hardest lessons I ever learned was how stress can be both good and bad. Up until my divorce and then moving a couple times, I didn't realize that stress could be, it's caused from good things too. And it does, you know, it doesn't matter where it comes from. When we use alcohol as our coping mechanism, we cannot fathom the idea of giving up our comfort, our whoobie, our blanket, whatever you want to call it, right? So I was at the jumping point for a very long time, okay? How many of you feel like you are on the jumping point right now? You're at the platform. You're just standing there. You're in deliberation mode. Maybe you've only been there for a month. Maybe you've been there for 10 years. I don't know. But how many of you are at this space where you're just on this platform ready to make a freaking decision about drinking, jumping off? Maybe it's, I'm not going to drink anymore. I hope it's, I'm not going to drink anymore if you're here. But if not, you know, then you're still at that point in deliberating, and any motivation that I can give you to help make the choice to quit drinking is good for me. So I think that if you are looking at our culture, right, where there's YOLO, FOMO, and we live in a drinking culture. Our society is pushed alcohol as a way of celebrating, of having fun. In fact, the commercials and ads basically make it look like you can't live without having a freaking drink in your hand. And most of us believe that to be true. Well, what am I going to do if I'm not drinking? So how many of you are at the jumping off point? Here I go blabbering on again. Raise of hands. Don't mind the birdie. Okay. So I was there for a really long time. Okay. And I really felt, here's the thing, right? Like in all seriousness, giving up alcohol to me, while I knew in my gut that I needed to stop drinking because my life was a complete shit show, in my mind, I felt like that was going to be giving up any fun and feeling good that I had in my life. Because when I did go out and have fun, of course, alcohol was there. So there's where my brain went, mayday, mayday, if you stop this, you're not going to have fun. You're not going to have these good times. But you can't give up that. Mind you, I wasn't able to look at all of the disaster and pure, you know, just volatile destruction my life, alcohol was causing my life. And I think that I was one of those people at the landing point that I really wanted to do everything I could do to keep alcohol in my life. In fact, I knew when I went to AA, my very first round, I went in and out for a little bit, but the very first time I went, I wanted to quit drinking, but then I felt like, oh, well, this is going to teach me how to moderate and how to drink. Like, I'm going to learn tools and tips on how you control it. Well, if your brain is anything like my brain, that ain't going to happen. So, addiction is a real thing. I know some people don't like resonating with the word alcoholic. And I understand that and I respect that, but there is also the scientific brain neurological studies on addiction and what lights up in your brain when you have the substance. And I'm most certainly have that in my brain. And I don't struggle to call myself an alcoholic or recovering alcoholic. But I do understand why some people would. And I think I did fight it for a while. And that was part of my landing point, jumping point. I really was not, I could admit that I was an alcoholic to myself. How many of you have been able to do that? Just one pinky raise will be good. So I can vividly remember, low point, drinking out of shots out of this Smirnoff bottle. And I was living with my parents at the time, getting ready to move. And my parents have these clear, thank God they got rid of these glasses, because it would make me want to throw up every time I saw them. I swear I could still smell booze in them for like 5 or 6 years after I quit drinking. But I would take these shots that were not shots. They were like quarter of the bottle, but in my mind, they were shots. And I would finish it and like then chug Diet Coke. And then I would say like, oh my God, I'm such a freaking alcoholic. I would not say freaking, but I am such an alcoholic. And that went on for a while until I finally went and decided that I needed to do something about the drinking. And that's when the period of me deliberating and me being at the jumping off point was, I knew I needed to make a move. Okay. And that's why I like to call, there's like the jumping off point, the landing point, where you like land in one area. Maybe you go back to the jumping, because I think the deliberation is a process for everybody. I think quitting drinking is a process for everyone, whether you struggle or sometimes it's easy, but you might go back. You know, it all depends on everybody's journey is different. Some people can quit and never go back. Some people struggle with cravings for a really long time. Some people can't understand why they can't figure it out. Some people get a pink cloud, and then when the pink cloud disappears, it's like a total, oh my God, kind of a thing, right? But so I think you can go back and forth. You can jump and land in one area, go back to the jumping point, land in another area. The thing is, a lot of people focus on what you're going to lose when you give up alcohol. Well, if I quit drinking, I'm not going to be able to go to the bar with my friends, and I'm not going to have a social life. If I quit drinking, I'm never going to be able to dance again because I can't dance sober. If I quit drinking, how am I going to have fun on a boat on a sunny summer day? If I can't quit drinking, these are all things I said to myself, by the way. I'm not making fun of anybody. I can't have fun going to an art fair without a couple cocktails to walk around and look at the art and look like I'm so mature. In reality, I looked like a total jackass, but that's neither here nor there. I think that the thing is we focus so much on what we can no longer have in our life that it's so hard to imagine our life without the alcohol, because we subtract all of these things. And it gets scary when you look at societal things like weddings and how am I going to get through the cheers without champagne in my glass, or how am I going to, get through a cheers at a celebration for a work function. And all of that stuff with time gets very easy, but these are very natural fears when you are on the verge of quitting drinking, right? They really are. Like, how am I going to get through that? How am I going to make sure that, you know, I don't drink during these times when it's so normal to drink? And I think that looks pretty freaking bleak, honestly, when you fixate on how am I going to get through this? What am I going to do without the alcohol? Because all you're focusing on is the alcohol, and there's no focusing on what you're going to gain from not drinking, right? So, you know, I think that there is an exercise to do for you guys in your journals. And I think that whether you spend years, months, days, just an hour, whatever it may be, this is a good little exercise. And I want you to make a list. It can be a bucket list of sorts of all the things you want to do, all the places you want to go, all the things you're interested in taking up or learning, or hobbies you're interested in stepping into and really becoming, a seasoned hobbyist, exercises that you're looking, you know, at doing, or classes, or jumping out of a plane, or bungeeing, or whatever it is that you're looking to do. Really make a list. You don't have to do this right now. You can do this when we can reconvene with it later at a later time, but just in your journals, I want you to write this stuff down. Get as detailed as possible about all the things that you want to do in the next 5 years. Okay. Where you want to go, what you want to visit, who do you want to be there with you, right? Who are you spending time with? What are the feelings that come up when you're in these places, when you think about even doing these things? What feelings come up for you? What does it look like? I mean, be as creative and detailed as possible and get an image in your head of where you're going, what it looks like for each item that you put on your list. Feel the feelings of it, right? Where do you feel the sensations in your body as you're writing it? Are you excited, right? Are you energized? You getting like tingly, you know, on the top of your crown chakra? Where are you feeling it? So when you've done all of that, I can send you guys a visualization exercise or some, you know, other details to go along with this, because you can email me how it felt and what you know, how many things you put down of this, your FOMO of not doing the bucket list of what you want to do in the next 5 years, right? Especially after COVID, I think it's so important for us to really dive in and do all the shit that we want to do. Like, everybody is puts things off all the time. I'm too busy. Then COVID hit and we got everything ripped away from us. And it's like, well, shit, I'm not waiting on anything anymore. I'm doing it. You know, I'm doing it. One of the things that my husband always says, Jeff, my father-in-law died 3 years ago, and he was relatively young. I mean, he was 68, and, you know, he always put off doing everything for when he was retired. He was going to do this when he was retired, and he was only retired, I think, God, probably 4 years, and then he ended up passing away. And three of those years, you know, two of those years he was sick and fighting for his life. So my husband is always big now on, I'm not waiting. I'm doing it. If I want it, I'm doing it. You know, like our swim spa dilemma right now, getting a swim spa. He's doing it because he's not waiting anymore. And I'm like, pump the brakes. But seriously, you know, look at what it is that you want to do. Who do you see with you doing these things? Where are you going? Are you traveling? Are you working a new job? Are you becoming a cyclist? Are you getting into Peloton? Are you becoming a yogi? Are you doing more workshops where you're connecting with other people and making connections? Are you volunteering more? Are you giving time to causes that are close to your heart? Excuse me. get as detailed as possible, right? I want you, the goal of this is to really be imagining this updated version of yourself, right? The future you who's done all of these things. How did it feel? How does it feel? What did it look like? You know? Because the thing is, everything that you want that you're going to put on that list is waiting for you on the other side of the bottle. Let that sink in for a minute. Everything that you're putting on this list is waiting for you on the other side of the bottle. How does that feel? Don't. Yeah, I see your face. I see you're crying. Because it's an both overwhelming, unimaginable feeling, yet you can feel it. And just by your reaction, you know deep down that it's true, that this is what you need to do and what you need to be doing. You're at the jumping off point and you need to jump. And I think that you know wholeheartedly which direction you need to jump in. And the good news for you is that I am here to help you get clear on the side that you're jumping into and know that you are not missing anything by giving up drinking. On the other side of the bottle is life waiting for you. It's there. And we look at this, I'm going to be losing so much when I quit drinking, but really if we started looking at the things that we gain, you wouldn't even be able to fully comprehend what you gain when you quit drinking. If you are struggling with it as badly as I struggled with it and deliberating over and over and over and feeling like you're going crazy, deliberating about, well, God, I said I wasn't going to drink last night and I fucking drank. How do I fix that? Why can't I fix that? What is wrong with me that I can't fix that? Why can't I just have two drinks? Why can't I just go and have one glass of wine? Why do I need to drink before I get to the place, have a drink when I get there, and then chug a whole bottle when I get home? Why can't I stop? What is wrong with me? Good news. There is nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's, what is it? One out of six people is just like you and me and her and her and her and her and you. That's the good news. So when we look at the drinking from a logical standpoint, it's really hard to process and do the change. That's why sometimes it's easier just to throw yourself in it and every day, just make the choice not to drink. That's why I say it is a choice. The choice not to drink. Every day, make a choice. Every craving, make the choice. Right? And if you fail at making the choice or you make a bad choice that day, don't worry about it and fixate on it. Jump right back in and make the better choice the next day for yourself. I don't know what those choices are for you. Only you know, right? I can tell you what I think would be a good choice for you. That doesn't mean it's the right choice for you. That's why my job on this whole journey is to walk alongside you and support you in what you find your choices should be and what you come up with on how you think you need to give up alcohol. And I understand if people think that, oh, writing this down and it's all there waiting for me on the other side of the bottle. Okay. But the truth is, it seems too good to be true. And I'm being 100% honest with you. For me and for every friend of mine that's in recovery, it is exactly what happened for us. A life I never could have imagined, I'm getting emotional, a life I never could have imagined for myself was waiting on the other side of that vodka bottle, and I had no clue how good it was going to be. In fact, I didn't like myself enough to even envision the life that I'm living today. The list that I would have written would have been so small. It would have. Sorry, I'm crying. It would have been so small compared to the list I'd make today, right? I know what's possible for me now, but I didn't. I didn't. And I see you getting emotional, and it makes me emotional because when I think back to the end of my drinking and how long I waited to liberating. Do I have a problem? Do I not have a problem? What's wrong with me? Why can't I? I don't want to give it up. I don't want to stop living my life. I don't want to stop having fun. You know, when I think of all of those things and how scary giving up alcohol was, that is tragic for me to look back on it. But at that point, on the other side of the bottle was going to be a tragedy because I was going to be alone. I was not going to have any friends. I was going to be bored, and I might as well go be a nun, was quite frankly how I felt about giving up drinking. I knew I wanted to quit drinking. I've always knew I wanted to quit drinking. I couldn't imagine life actually being worth living without alcohol in it. So this list is designed for all of you to look at what is possible on the other side of the bottle. What's your bucket list? What's the shit that you really want to do? Because if you're anything like I was, and some of you aren't as bad, and God, I hope none of you have to go as low as I went for a rock bottom. But if you're as bad as I was, you're not doing shit but getting annihilated tonight and tomorrow night and the next night and the next night and the night after that. There is no I'm traveling because you can't imagine not having the booze. And oh my God, then you got to plan a trip around booze. How am I going to drink? I got to drink on the plane. I got to drink when I get there. Where am I going to get my alcohol in my hotel room? Like all of those things that seem so normal and are so normal for a lot of people. But really, on the other side, the thought process, what you're focusing on, is so tragic. It's one thing, one substance, alcohol, it's a drink. So I want you to sit with this list for a couple days and really get intense and intentional about it, okay? As creative as you can, because when you look at life from that point of view, from all the incredible experiences you could rob yourself of. That's the jumping point. And that's the point I want all of you to jump with me and get started on real sobriety and what it looks like for you. It doesn't have to look the same for everyone else. It doesn't look the same for everyone else. My friends, sobriety is not the same as my sobriety. I will tell all of you that wishful thinking that the drinking's going to stop or you're going to somehow miraculously get control of it is a time suck. And it's bullshit. You're lying to yourself. Sober life is not about the alcohol at all. It took me a very long time to figure that out. That's why when I was learning, it was, the difference between someone who quits dry and someone who quits with a program and actually steps into sobriety, there is a difference. You have joy, you have freedom, you have peace, you have serenity, you have gratitude. You're grounded. You have real, genuine friendships. You have love, endless, endless love and support. You give love. You receive love. And you have hope. Not only do you have hope, without even knowing that you're doing it, you're giving other people hope. this pandemic, they haven't even scratched the surface of how many women are out there struggling with drinking. And it makes me sad to think about anyone who had to spend the last year alone in an alcohol-induced, scary, scary place. So focusing on the jumping point of where you want to go, what you want to do, who do you want to do it with? That's where we start clicking into real change. Quit trying to do it on your own. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm doing. That's what this sober course is about. I tried to quit drinking hundreds of times. Hundreds. Cleanse, a diet, a this, a that, a this, a that. 3 days, 4 days, 6 days, 1 day. Nothing worked until I had the right support and the right community around me. What will you replace alcohol with? Life? You're struggling with drinking. The people I see staring back at me, I know you are, but for everyone listening to this, if you're struggling with drinking, you are not alone. You are not alone. And you don't have to walk through it alone and do it on your own. As women, we struggle for so long because we're so used to trying to help other people. We want to be able to be there and be the help for other people. We can do it on our own. We've got this. We can do it. The truth is we can't. Some things you need extra help with, and this is one of those things. If you're ready to try something different, if you're on the jumping point and you're ready to try something different, please look into the sober course that I'm going to be launching and starting in July. And until then, you get to be on this on the other end of the screen with me during these podcast recordings. please consider it. When women get together in a vulnerable space and recognize one another through their stories, it's an incredible feeling. And there's nothing more powerful that I've ever experienced than like my soul circles or even this small group here, you know, of women sharing what they're going through, what they're battling, the freedom that they get and the help that they give other people just by sharing a simple story of some struggle that they're having is unbelievably powerful. And, you know, the connection and the support that you're able to provide one another is, it's priceless. So you are not alone today, everybody. You are certainly not alone in this room, Zoom room. You are not alone listening to this podcast. And seriously, if you are thinking about it, I will put the link in the show notes for you to sign up for the Sober Course Recovery Program. Ladies, please make that list and we will be able to go over, send me an email with the answers and I'll go over it with you about what's on the other side of the bottle for you. Super excited to get started. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the stigmas of all the other recovery options and programs and why we can't all just support one another and just be glad that we're not drinking. So that's next week. Ladies, I will talk to you soon. Everyone else out there, I hope wherever you are in the world, you are having a good day. See you next week.